Thank you, Pastor G. We're continuing in an attitude of prayer as I begin this message this morning, remembering that now faith is the confidence in the things that we hope for. It's the assurance of things that we do not see. God, we thank you that you are a God of hope. And I ask that as your scriptures read, as your word is proclaimed, that you would add a blessing on this time. And God, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me that my words might be used to build up, to encourage, and to comfort. God, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what you have to say to us today. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're continuing in this sermon series on dreams and visions. And we talked about last week how God poured out God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost so that everyone might be able to speak out loud, to prophesy. That the young men would have visions, the young folks would have visions, the older folks would dream dreams. But really, both of those things are happening all at once to everybody. It's kind of what it says. There's a big and there, both and. And so we think about those visions and those dreams that we have. And today I'd like to talk about visions and dreams in terms of hopes that we have, hopes that we can share together as we move forward. Hopes that are for the future. I know many of you talked about your hopes for yourself personally, hopes for those that you know, hopes for our church. Sometimes hopes, we think about them as distant hopes. But I want to talk about a hope that is for today as well, a now kind of hope that we're in together. Whenever a couple comes to get married, I get to do marriages. It's one of my favorite things to do is weddings. I do weddings. They do marriages, right? That's better said that way. And I ask questions. I email the bride and the groom questions to look forward to the big day. And questions that will help me to get to know them a little better. One of the questions is, you know, what was it about the bride that no one else has that's specifically special to her? What made you fall in love with the groom? You know, I ask these questions, but the last question that I always ask is, what are your hopes, your dreams, your visions for the next 5, 10, 50 years together? And it's always interesting how there's two answers that always top the charts, right? If I had to look back at all of the times that I've asked that question, there are two basic answers that people generally give. One is that they would like to settle down and have children, maybe, if God blesses them with children, and that could be something that they're looking forward to. And the other type of question that pretty much tops the list is we'd like to travel and see the world. And so sometimes the hopes kind of collide, don't they, you know, in a way. But those are the two top answers that folks hope for as they look forward. And as I think about it, you know, the wedding happens and then the marriage begins. And those hopes, over time, they become day-to-day kind of things, right? You're working at these things, and then you look back, and 10 years has gone by, right? Yeah. Oh, man, very quickly, 10 years goes by. And we think about what would happen 10 years from now, and I think my youngest will be 18. Oh, I didn't even want to think that way. You know, that kind of hurts us to think about. Oh, man, let's stay in the moment. Let's have this time now, these things that we hope for. And I think about that in terms of living that out day to day, daily living this hope. When we read the scripture, our scripture this morning, oh, I'm reminded to put on this stole here. Yeah. Our scripture this morning is from 1 Peter. And you can hear the excitement behind these words as he begins this letter to the church praising God. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." This living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we experience today. As we lean into, as we live into the work of the church, things that are happening right now, today, is amazing. There is this, Ms. Marcia mentioned it, this acronym that describes a Sunday school class. My friend Jason, I think, came up with it, or at least he was working on the idea, and it was Maria, okay. Well, I heard Jason talking about it, and it was the coolest thing. It was almost like I could hear the music behind him as we were hoping and dreaming together. It was the coolest thing, but it was the idea of, the youth here today at Chumpsey have the coolest place to be. I mean, they really do. There's a ping pong table and a pool table and a pit where you've seen the back door. It is neon on the walls. It's the greatest place to hang out. So the older folks like myself in the Sunday school class, we want to make a place where we can come and hang out. And we know that we are getting older, and so we thought about calling it the WWYO, the We Were Youth Once. Yeah, we were young once. But then as we started thinking about that, the WWYO, it has another meaning too that's really cool. And it's something that today, right now, Colonial Hills does really well. And that is, we welcome young and old. All right, amen, amen. All the young folks are clapping. Old folks too, what a beautiful thing that we welcome young and old. I feel that's just such a wonderful thing to remember and to think about. And to think about our hopes that are for the future, maybe they're hopes for others. When I think about my hopes for this church, I think about it in terms of years from now. I want my kids to look back on this time and say, I met people that were young and old, and I learned from them about the faith, and I grew up in that faith. And if you're a little bit older and you're growing up into that faith, that's what happens today when faithful people gather and we are the church together. This is our hope sort of lived out in real time. Now, this is such a beautiful thing. What we can do as a church, yesterday we gathered and we were able to feed lots of folks that were in need in the neighborhood, in the area. We have an opportunity coming up. This is the coolest thing. We have an opportunity coming up to partner with our own CDC, our own Child Development Center, and our own school here. What a wonderful opportunity. In the next few weeks, you're going to be asked to bring in some things that are needed for the teachers so that they know that they're supported, so that they know that there's a church that's praying for them, the teachers that are here during the week. What a cool idea that is to partner with them and to know that we're a church that supports that kind of thing, that we're leaning into that call and that connection. I had a phone call, guys, I want to celebrate this. I had a phone call from a grandma. Her grandson goes to the CDC and he loves it. And she said, "Well, I want to bring him in and we're looking for a church home." I said, "Well, that's great." She said, "I would like to He would like to be baptized. We want to talk about getting him baptized. I said, that'd be great. And she said, and my daughter's 19. She'd like to be baptized too. I said, well, we welcome young and old. Come on, this is who we are. This is the greatest thing. So that partnership, that connection today, in the next few weeks, can matter to some family that where we look back in 10 years and there are families that came from the day school, from the child development center. How wonderful that is to walk in faith and to be able to see those opportunities. It's beautiful. When we see this, some folks, we talk about hopes. It's a hope for right now, or hope for in the very near future. But for some folks, there's also this other idea behind Christian hope, and that's our eternal hope. And I wanted to read the same scripture from the Message translation, as it really speaks to this. Message translation says, what a God we have and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. And the day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. As a pastor, one of the joys that I experience in my life is doing weddings. But also, one of the things that I know to be true is that I have a whole lot of friends in heaven. Amen? I have a whole lot of family members, and I have a whole lot of friends in heaven. It's such a joy to know that I have a friend that's just about to cross over. I visited with him last week, and I gave him an anointing for the journey. And he has the same questions that all of us have. And the questions of, they're questions of existence, existential questions. What will it be like? You know, he doesn't want, and I said, you're so human in this, that you know, the old song, everybody wants to get to heaven, nobody wants to die. It's true. And I think about it, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to die. My friend doesn't want to die. And so I sit with him and I give words of assurance and comfort. And the one that I have, the one that I stand on, the one I'm counting on, church, is just this real simple idea that when you're with someone that loves you, when you're with someone that loves you, you're safe. That's it. That we can trust our loved ones with our Savior because of that love. And what a comfort it is to accept that gift of God's love, to accept that gift and to have the confidence of what we hope for eternally. To trust in what we don't see right now. That's our hope as Christians. I've got a lot of friends in heaven. I think about my friend Hank Besruchik. And years ago, I started a prayer group. Thought it was a neat idea during Lent. We were going to have a prayer group. It was going to go all the 40 days plus weekends of Lent. And every single day, we're going to meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and pray together all through Lent. And then after Lent's over and we have Easter, then we're going to meet just once a week. And everybody was like, yeah, Pastor Dan, that's a great idea. We'll do it. And for the first week, I had like a handful of folks that were just diehard. We're going to come at 1 o'clock and take a lunch break from our jobs, and we're going to meet and we're going to pray together. It lasted about a week. And then it was just me and Hank. Me and Hank Besruchik. I had to learn his last name. He was the only Besruchik that I know. He's Polish. And Hank would shuffle out of his car, and he'd come at 1 o'clock. And it's about like 5 till 1 when I knew that Hank was the only guy that was going to be there, but boy, I could sure count on old Hank to be there. And Hank would come and he grew up Catholic, so he would pray for the souls of people. As a Methodist, I never prayed for the souls of people. I just trust them with Jesus and never really prayed for the souls of people. But he would pray for the soul of his late wife, and then he would pray for this guy named Bagrat Haritunian. And we'd pray for Bagrat Haritunian, and it took me a few times of Hank praying for the soul of Bagrat Haritunian that I just kind of got the idea that Hank really liked to remember his friend. One of the reasons why I'm telling you this today is because I like to remember my friend. Because I like to talk about him. He had the gift of the love language of gifts. You ever have a friend that likes to give you gifts? Hank would bring me crosses that he found at the thrift store. He would bring me Bibles that were sort of torn and rough around the edges. He would bring me all kinds of things that he would leave on my desk. Things like the Footprints poster with a broken frame. Hank just knew I would like it. The Christmas before Hank died, he broke into my office, I guess through the secretary, and there were three giant stuffed animals on my couch. We call them the Hank Besruchik Bears. I tell you the story about Hank because there's something that Hank said to me that I'll never forget. After we would spend time together, he would look at me with all seriousness and he'd say, "Pastor Dan, it was a slice of heaven visiting with you today. It was a slice of heaven visiting with you today." I think about those words so often when I'm in conversation with others. We know and we sense that Christ is present with us in our conversation, in our communion. I think of that expression when we have communion together, it's just a slice of heaven visiting with you today. How sometimes we don't see it at the time, do we? We look back on it and it was just drenched in God's love. It was a slice of heaven visiting with you today. When I was a kid, I have these fond memories of going to my nanny's house, my dad's mom. She could cook. That was her spiritual gift. Oh, man, she cooked Southern comfort food. And she had the tortillas of North Carolina, which we call biscuits. She would make buttermilk biscuits by hand, and they were absolutely delicious. And you'd get so hungry, and as you do when, you know, it's Sunday and the pastor goes on and on. And before we would eat, we'd get called to the kitchen and we'd be given just a little slice of whatever Nanny was cooking on a fork. Here, go ahead and grab it. It was a sample. Would you kids like a sample? Oh, man, I could eat a whole plate. I could eat three plates of that, whatever that was. It was a foretaste of glory divine, as we call it in the church. That's what communion is. That's what our time together is, really. It's a right now living into this hope that we share eternally and the joy that comes from that. That's my hope. It's more and more and more of those times together that are meaningful, that matter, so that we can look back on a lifetime of growing in the faith. And that is only the very beginning in Christ Jesus.